Welcome to Return to Life, weekly inspirational and empowering conversations on a variety of topics regarding everything health, wellness, meditation, and movement, guiding you to discover the peace that resides inside of you and help you live a balanced and blissful life. It's time to return to life. Here's your host, inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler.
Good morning and welcome to Return to Life. I am Pam Butler and you're listening to Vivid Life Radio. My guest this morning is Erica Oppenheimer. She's an ACT and SAT test prep coach whose advice has been featured on the Huffington Post. Erica uses her unique test prep for the whole person methodology. She helps students from across the United States and around the world to boost their test scores while developing skills and mindsets that enhance their academic and creative pursuits. Erica graduated from Georgetown University with degrees in English and psychology. She lives in New York and she does individual coaching as well as coaching via Skype. And group testing as well, group coaching as well. So I've had firsthand experience with Erica, and that's why I was really looking forward to having her on my show. I have a high school senior, so Erica did do some coaching with my daughter Brittany to prepare her for her test scores. And I have to say that Erica's tools are not only great for the school age kid, but they're great for adults as well. So, you know, please be open-minded to try all of the things that she has to offer today, yourself and in your household. So good morning, Erica. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Pam. Good morning.
Good morning. So the title of our show is How to Pursue Personal Goals, and we'll talk about that, and I'm looking forward to, in the second part of our show, you sharing some specific tools from your book. But I think before we get into that, I'd like you to kind of talk about that period of time in your life where you were in, as you describe in the book, survival via success mode, focusing on all of the external markers of achievement. Because I think, you know, today, whether it is a high school student or whether an adult, you know, our society seems to be so focused on external markers, achieving, acquiring, getting the next best thing. So can you share a little bit about that period of time in your life where you felt like you were in that mode?
Yeah. In the book, because it is a book written most specifically for high school students, so you, as you said, a lot of other people can appreciate it. I talk about what it was like for me in high school, and in high school it was like, okay, I have to get through the next test and then I'll feel okay. I have to, you know, get through this audition and then I'll feel okay. I have to get through, you know, I have to get that part, or I have to get that solo, or I have to get that next thing, and then I'll be okay. I was so accomplished, if you looked at the outside and at my resume, but I was also aware of all the things that I wasn't doing. So I wasn't a cheerleader. I wasn't president of the student council. I wasn't on the student council. So it was like a double whammy. Everything, I had my eye on the next prize that I could get, but I was also aware of all the things that I wasn't doing. It was a very comparison-based, and both to some idea that I had of what a successful person looked like on the outside, or like what would make me successful. And it
right.
I would never be satisfied because there's always a next thing. There's always a next test. There's always a next audition. And so it's a pursuit that you're just never going to win. You'll never actually feel peaceful with that kind of
right. So that kind of leads to what I was going to say to you. How are you feeling on the inside? Like, did you feel that unbalanced or feel unsettled inside, or did you just kind of close that part of you off and, you know, kind of be in just the success mode? Were you able to feel that?
I think it's a combination. I mean, for one thing, you know, there was a good amount of anxiety and perfectionism and just dis-ease as I moved through life. Not to say that I was never happy or that I never had fun, because that happened too. But I would be kind of ornery. I would be snappy with my mom, or, you know, as a lot of teenagers are, I think. But all that was
no,
out.
Not my daughter, not at all.
That would happen. But also, I mean, to give a story that I don't think I even tell in the book, I actually was so busy and so used to operating from a place of exhaustion, overwhelm, all of that I took one of my SATs, and I had mono, and I didn't even realize it. I went to the doctor like 2 weeks later for a general checkup, and the doctor was like, "Are you aware that you have mono?" And I was like, "No." Like, I was just used to being tired. I was just used to operating on adrenaline and, okay, what's the next thing that I need to do? Okay, let's go do that. You know, I there were years when I didn't have a lunch period so that I could get in another activity or an extra class. And I want to be clear, that was all internally motivated. It wasn't like I had parents who were like, "Erica, you got to get the next class. You got to get the next thing." It was coming from me and my own ideas of how I wanted to do everything, and I wanted to be, another thing that was like better in my best, but I wanted to do better than my best as if such a thing were possible. Like,
right, yeah, and I think, you know, and I think that's great that you said that it wasn't necessarily your parents pushing you to do that. It was your own internal barometer, and I do see that. Again, you know, my own personal history with my daughter who did develop mono also in high school, and I am the kind of parent that kind of, you know, wants to have her find that balance in her life of obviously achieving well academically, but, you know, having fun, participating in extracurricular activities, giving back through charity. You know, there is just so much now on the kids that I see, and I'm sure you do too, working with them. They are so stressed out. They have anxiety, they have depression, they have insomnia, you know, they get on medication, and, you know, it's scary, you know, to see that, and that the burnout rate, you know, is getting so much younger.
And so it's not going to come out, you know, through healthy practices. It's going to find a way out, like, you, whether it's mono or developing some other sort of more traditional disease or sickness, or through being snappy or exhaustion. It's just going to find a way out. You can't run yourself ragged and have it not take a toll one way
right.
or another.
So, yeah, and developing those feelings, those habits, and developing that anxiety at an early age, I think is really tough and very stressful. So before we go into, you know, your aha moment and your shift, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'll have you talk about, you know, when you really did realize that you were burning the candle on both ends and that life needed to change for you. So stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler, and my guest today is Erica Oppenheimer. Erica is the author of the book Acing It, A Mindful Guide to Maximum Results on Your College Admissions Test. So, Erica, before the break, you were talking about that period of time where you were in, survival via success mode, focusing on all the external markers in your life. Can you kind of talk about, We talked about your burnout, but then what was your, kind of aha moment or moments that led you to make your shift?
Yeah, well, like you said, there wasn't just one moment necessarily, but I think that when we start to open the door to another way of being, we get more and more opportunities. I don't know if any of your listeners study things like the law of attraction, but that's kind of how that works. You start to say, okay, I think I want to feel a little bit better. And then the books fall off the shelf. The teachers appear. The YouTube videos are recommended to you. All of those things. But basically, I felt like I had that sneaking suspicion that there had to be a better way than living like I was, than always feeling exhausted and frustrated and anxious and all of that. To give an example, I was a senior year in my senior year of college at Georgetown, and I had no idea what I wanted to do professionally. And I went to talk to one of my English professors who was a former Jesuit. And there's so much advice he could have given me. He could have told me to go to the career office or, think about what I liked doing when I was a kid, which both reasonable advice. But instead he gave me Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success.
And that's awesome.
And I remember reading that book and being like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Just like underlining it. And then there was a time in my after I moved to New York, when the stock market crashed and everything was sort of in flux. And I picked up the book again and I reread it. And it's one of those books that when I feel sort of uncertain in my work life or even in my personal life necessarily, essentially, like I might return to that book. But now my world has been opened up to all of these speakers and thought leaders. So I've got a wealth of people who I can also turn to. But that's one example of just when the student is ready, the teacher appears, as I say in the Course in Miracles.
And how did you come about or across spiritual teachings? Sometimes, particularly, it sounds like you were younger and, the fact that you were open-minded to it and came across it at an early age is great. How did that happen? Who introduced you to, spiritual teachings?
I was raised in a secular Jewish home. So religion wasn't totally off, or spirituality weren't totally off of the table. But that's the first time that I remember consciously being given that kind of a book, like by a Deepak Chopra or a Wayne Dyer or a Marianne Williamson or something like that. You know how when you meet a really good friend, it can feel like you've known them all along, like you've known them for years, even if you've known them for a day or a week. It's kind of that feeling where I don't necessarily remember like the tipping point of, oh, and then I started reading Wayne Dyer and then I started listening to a Marianne Williamson talk. Especially once I moved to New York and suddenly all the structure of school and the safety net of living among my peers and all of that was gone. And I felt like I was looking in the face of the rest of my life and I didn't know anyone when I moved here. Like, that was, I think, the moment when I really started. I would walk around New York City listening to Wayne Dyer's talks. I would get them at the library, and I would, on CD, and I would load them onto my iPod, and I would just walk around New York City like, okay, just like learning this other way of looking at the world. And it just resonated with me. It wasn't, I think I was just open to it. And another thing, like Abraham Hicks talks about contrast and how when you don't know what you don't want, you know what you do want. And I'd lived for so long in a place of anxiety and stress. And that didn't necessarily culminate in a bottom, in a this is as bad as it can get, I've got to do better. But it was, because it was more chronic, it was like, I knew what that experience was like, and I wanted the alternative, and these teachers represented to me an alternative, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's amazing at your young age that you were able to find and make that shift. So what then led you to pursue what you're doing now to help, you know, to not only help school age children, but like I said, your book is great for school age kids, but it's also great for adults, also great for families. You know, these are timeless tools that you teach. How did you go from being the student to the teacher?
Well, I was, after my initial job in New York, which was in finance, and then a stint in PR and the, you know, and all sorts, and then a lot of applying to jobs because, again, we were amidst a recession, I decided to go back to acting, which was a thing that I had loved to do when I was a child. And amidst that, I needed another way to pay the bills because no one, you don't go to an office and be like, okay, I'm going to be an actress. And they're like, okay, great. Well, here's your benefits package. And
right.
So after trying out the standard waitressing gig, which wasn't fulfilling for me at all, I got a job at a tutoring company working with kids on the SAT and the ACT. And as you described, the kids that I was working with, the students that I was working with, were all stressed out, anxious about the test. A lot of them had attention issues, meaning ADHD and the like, or not even necessarily diagnosed or diagnosable, but no distraction. And we hadn't discussed that issue in the training that I'd received, which was short. It was like 5 days. And it seemed to me like, given that those things existed, there was a sort of glass ceiling to the kind of results that students could get. Because it's one thing to know the formulas, but if you're having a panic attack during the math section, you're not going to get your best score. And if you're feeling resistant to even opening the book when you're studying, you're not going to get your best score. So I was working with a student who had attention issues but no extended time and was highly anxious. And we tried a bunch of things. None of the standard, you know, underline, none of that had really helped. So I gave her an active writing exercise, which is, there are different names for it, but you write stream of consciousness for about 10 minutes or 3 pages and just mind dump onto the page. Doesn't matter if you interrupt yourself mid-sentence, just go. And it changed her life, as that kind of a practice is wont to do. I described it as pensiving out your thoughts as an allusion to Harry Potter, and Dumbledore has a pensive that he would take a strand of thought and put it in the pensive. So the idea was the thoughts still exist. You can go back to them later, or you can throw it away. Either way, it's totally fine. But the point is they're not bouncing around in your head, distracting you from what you need to focus on right now, which is the test.
Right.
And even if your thoughts are,
So that's I think that's a great tool. And I love that tool. Do you have other tools from your book that you want to share this morning? You know, great mindfulness or anxiety, you know, driven tools to help people?
Well, I think, like I said, I think that's a really good one. And I think a really important thing to point out before I go into other tools is that sometimes you use these when, you know, when the S hits the fan. Sometimes you use it when that happens. But really, the tools are best used as a consistent practice. Even if you can only find one or two that resonate with you and that you can commit to, I think it's really important that we not just use tools as a reactive, I'm not feeling good, therefore I'm going to do this thing, but also as a, this is how I help myself to keep feeling good. So I think that that's really good, important, and I want to say that before I go into other things. Meditation is something that's been really, really important to me in my life. There were years and years when I would do it inconsistently. I'm about a year and 3 or 4 months into meditating twice a day for 20 minutes a day. You don't need to do that much, but even if you and your son or daughter, if they're school age, like meditating for 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning, and then 5 or 10 minutes after school or when they walk in the door, before they eat, before they turn on the television, like if you can cultivate that kind of a practice in your home, I think that that's really great. And in Vedic meditation, which is the kind that I practice, those are the perfect times to do it. We want to meditate once in the morning when you first wake up, and then once in between lunch and dinner when you've got when you're not digesting food. And so so those are the perfect times. If your kid is home at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., like that's the time to meditate. And that what that does, as opposed to meditating at night, is it charges you up for the rest of the evening so that they can be productive with their homework, or you can be present with the rest of your work day, or with the people that you're spending time with in the evening, as opposed to meditating right before you go to bed. When you meditate before bed, now you've got a new surge of energy, and what are you going to do with it? Well, you're trying to go to sleep.
Right. So do you have a specific meditation? You know, a lot of kids are kind of, against or not willing to learn meditation. Do you have an easy way to teach them, or, you know, guide people to YouTube or anything like that you like for kids?
Well, yeah, I think that for younger kids, you can usually talk them through it because younger kids are just more adaptable, and modeling is also very important. So if you're going to encourage a kid to meditate, then you should also be meditating, I think. Or
right,
even
lead
if
by
just,
example.
Yeah, or even if you just start meditating and you just let them know this is what I'm doing, and, oh, wow, I feel so much better now.
Right,
you,
right.
You know, modeling, I think, is really important. With older
So we
kids,
just have a couple more minutes,
okay,
Erica,
yeah.
So go on to your
yeah.
other tools, because you've got some
okay.
great ones.
Okay. The other tool that I wanted to point out to your audience is with to-do lists, we often think of it as just this long, one single column to-do list. What I've been doing recently, and I've really, really loved, is making it a two-column to-do list, where one column, the left column, is the things that I'm going to try and do today, and the right column are things that I know that I want, but I'm not putting on myself for today. And then you can move things from the right column to the left column as you keep, every day you make your new to-do list. I think that that's a really good way to stay organized. And then you know, there's not, the hardest thing with keeping yourself organized is that feeling of, oh, I can't forget to do that thing. And in general, we want to avoid that. We want to have it all written down so that you don't feel like you have to keep your mind wrapped around everything that needs to get done. But it's all there. It'll all get done, and you don't need to do everything today. These are the things, these are the priorities for today. And then also in conjunction with that, I think it's great to have another planner where you write down what you did do, and then you feel a sense of accomplishment, and you don't cross those things out. You're like, at the end of the day, okay, today I did this, and I feel really good about that, and it's that way when you look back at the end of the month or at the end of the year, you can have a feeling of, okay, these are the things that I did. Wow, I got a lot done.
That's great. That's awesome. Great idea.
Yeah. The thing
so
that I also wanted
do you
to say
have
about teenagers.
One? Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say something about teenagers. With teenagers, it's really important that they have a sense of ownership over the process, whether it's meditation or any other organizational tool. So with them, I do think it's a great idea to have them, if it's meditating, go to YouTube and find something that they feel good about, or, you know, like, giving them ownership over the process, I think, is the most important thing for teenagers with regards to any of these practices. You can encourage it and you can lead by example, but at that developmental stage, I think it's just really important that they feel a sense of ownership.
Great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have one last parting tip that you'd like to leave us all with, Erica?
I guess the last tip would just be find ways to feel good in whatever process it is, that whatever goal you're trying to work for. Because, yes, of course, you are going to feel good when the thing is accomplished, and we're not taking away from that. But there's a way to feel good in the process, even if it's something as seemingly dry as SAT and ACT prep. There's a way to make it enjoyable or fun, or even if it doesn't seem like there is, you can find the thing about it that you like or connect to the reason why you're doing it, and that can be enough of a motivator. Like, if you're someone who doesn't like doing laundry but you love wearing clean clothes, that might too make doing laundry, you know, more enjoyable. Like, it will feel so good to be walking around in my clean clothes. I will feel like I'm my best self when I don't have food stains on my clothes.
Right. That's great. I love that.
It can apply to any goal. It's not just about feeling good when it's done. It's about feeling good along the way. And so that means taking care of yourself and finding aspects about the process that you can enjoy or a way to enjoy them.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Erica. Thank you so much for being my guest today. And I really encourage people to go out and pick up your book. You can order it on Amazon, Acing It, A Mindful Guide to Maximum Results on Your College Admissions Test. You'll be able to find other amazing tools in the book as well. You can learn more things about Erica on her website, ericaoppenheimer.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at @Erica_OPP. So thank you, Erica, for joining me today. I love everything that you have to share. I love all that you do for kids and helping to prepare them for life and, you know, really encouraging families to be mindful together. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to Return to Life on Vivid Life Radio. This is Pam Butler. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. As we all know, stress has become an epidemic in our society, contributing to more diseases in our bodies. Listen each week as Pam shares easy and practical information and tools to connect your mind, body, and spirit and return to a life that is more balanced and blissful than ever before. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.